Paul Plakas joins us. Paul, we are 9 days away from karaoke. Are you ready?
Oh, man, I've been practicing my range, my tone, everything. So I'm good to go, bud. I've got all my songs picked out and ready to kill them.
I can't tell anybody else your songs, but I saw your songs today. I was like, you're going old school.
I'm going old school. I'm going from my era, you know, getting old. And, I'm going from my era, bring back some memories and what I used to belt out back in the high school, university days.
Really? Are you going to be wearing acid wash jeans?
If I can find a pair, definitely.
I want to talk about a few things. You're fired up talking about Dr. Oz because this week he was talking about women's different body types and how certain foods can spot reduce fat on a body.
Yeah, the thing about Dr. Oz, this guy's a cardiac surgeon. You know, when he first started off his show, he was giving out some fantastic advice to people. But lately, he's basically, become a product and exercise gimmick whore. So what's happening is that companies are trying to get him to advertise on with his show. They want him to promote products. And he's kind of promoting things that are misleading and provide outrageous claims to people. Now, he was talking about, maximizing fat loss, with certain types of fruits, that kind of thing. And now he's talking about how in his last show, how if you ate certain foods based on your body type, if you were a pear shape, an apple shape, or a box shape, certain foods, if you ate them, you could reduce and spot reduce fat from those types of parts of your body, which is ridiculous. It's impossible to do. Everybody's got a genetic shape that they're born with. Fat will become smaller in all areas of your body. The areas that you want maybe not as much, but you can't eat a certain food or do a certain exercise to make fat come off a specific part of your body. I can't stress this enough to people. Then there's so much gimmicks out there that keep saying this over and over again. It's kind of getting ridiculous now.
Like, you can do certain workout, right? Like, if you want to strengthen your biceps and you do bicep curls, sure, they'll get bigger. But if you do ab crunches all day, you might get a six-pack underneath your fat, but your fat won't evaporate from it. You're going to have to sweat and hope to God that when you work out and burn calories and do fat burning, that it's the fat in that area rather than maybe the fat in your legs or your glutes.
Yeah, you can't control where the fat comes off, but you can definitely control where muscle goes on your body, definitely. So the key really is you got to expend energy, and that's really the key, is what kind of activities can you do to maximize your energy expenditure? That's what you kind of have to look at.
Let's talk about some things that could maximize your caloric burn. Talking about perform movements that avoid localized muscular fatigue.
Yeah, so one of the things you can do, like you were talking about bicep curls. So when you do a bicep curl, sure, you burn calories to do that. It creates an energy. You need to have energy to in order to perform that movement. But, if you do too many bicep curls, it burns some calories, but your biceps are going to be toast before you burn any significant amount of calories, because you're only having one little joint and only certain muscle fibers performing the movement. But now, if you do movements that involve lots of muscle groups and lots of joint movements, where not one little area is going to, where one area, when it gets fatigued, is not going to stop you from continuing the exercise, that's your best bet. So that's why, like, for example, a lot of people say cross-country skiing is one of the best caloric expenditure exercise, because you're involving the shoulders, the elbow joint, the hips, the knee joint, the ankles. There's lots of muscular activity going on through all joints, and you're not getting one area that's exhausting. The exhaustion is spread throughout your whole body, so you can work hard and go long and not have any localized fatigue. So that's kind of what you want to look for, is activities that spread the workload everywhere.
Paul Plakas joins us from Custom Fit. What about, stuff that motivates you? How is that going to maximize it?
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, you need to be, the harder you work, the more calories you're going to burn. So you got to find out, well, what's going to motivate you to kick your own ass, right? That's the key. So for me, I've always liked sports, right? So when I play sports, I'm competing against another person. It's motivating me to try to beat that person in that sport. So I'm going to try harder. I'm going to run harder. I'm going to jump faster. I'm going to do things at more intense levels so I can win whatever game I'm playing. For other people, it might be individual. Maybe you're motivated by a clock. Say, for example, you're in a race of some kind and you want to try to beat a time that you set for yourself. That might motivate you as well. So you got to find something that's going to get you going to want to work hard. Like, you could stand, you could be in a standing position and then just run in place as hard as you can for an hour, but it's really not that motivating. You're going to burn a lot of calories, but again, who's going to want to do that to themselves?
Paul Plakas joins us. You know, doing something you enjoy for long periods of time, Paul, but don't you have to switch it up? You can't do the same thing all the time if you're trying to maximize your burn, or can you?
Well, yes and no. Like, for example, you definitely become efficient at doing something. So say, for example, you start a running program. At the beginning, you're not a very good runner. You're kind of clumsy. Your body becomes neurologically more efficient to running. So yeah, if you started getting used to running a 5K and you just kept doing that same 5K at the same pace, yeah, you're going to level off. But hopefully what happens is, as you get better at running, you try to beat that time. You try to run that 5K harder and faster every time, or you try to increase your distance. So you can increase your caloric expenditure if doing the same activity, if you always do either more intensity or more duration. But also mixing it up is also a good idea, so that your body is forced to try to learn something different, because when it's inefficient at the beginning, it burns a lot of energy trying to learn how to do something.
Paul, a few weeks ago we were talking about calorie in, calorie out, and you know, obviously it's not that simple, but that's kind of a fair one. We had an emailer suggesting that you were ignoring the effect of insulin and how a body reacts to it, that sports teams are moving to low-carb, high-fat diets and are seeing fewer injuries.
What? Yeah, that's a really big debate going on in the industry right now, is like the effect insulin, and everybody's talking about how bad sugar is for the body and how we should try to eat less sugar, and insulin, having insulin secreted is a bad thing. So I would say yes and no. Okay, so insulin is a hormone that's released that allows you to, that takes energy from the blood system, like sugar, that kind of stuff, and then it's a storing hormone. It likes to store fat. It likes to take amino acids in protein form and store them in the muscles, that kind of thing. So it's a storing hormone. So it's okay to have some of that, but it's just when it's in an excessive amount that insulin secreted that it becomes a problem. So when you're taking in too much sugar or too much energy for the activities that you're doing, then that becomes really a problem. So it's yes and no. Sugar is a problem if you're, or insulin secretion is a problem if it's too much energy you're taking in. You can get away with more sugar and energy if you're a very active person. So if you're like a desk job or sedentary person, you're going to have to be really cautious about how much sugar and how much insulin secreted, where an athlete doesn't have that issue because they burn out energy off through activity. So yes and no. So the big question is now is, would, if you ate a very nutritious high carbohydrate diet, is that better than eating a very nutritious high protein, high fat diet? I don't think anybody knows that yet. So it's up in the air. There's still a lot of research needs to be done. The key really is to eat high nutrition. If you're doing that, you're probably pretty well off doing it either way.
Paul, always great to catch up. We will be waiting with bated breath for the karaoke performance next Friday.
Yeah, I've already got my dance moves. I've been watching some Power Hour on MTV, and I'm ready to go.